All right, it is good to have everyone today. We are looking probably at the fourth message in this series that today we are entitling to be free indeed. And we want that. I want to be freed up. There are things in my life I need to be freed up from. And you need to be freed up from, but we got to go through a process. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it tells us the process. And then in verse 17, it talks about the freedom. And we're going to look at in Hebrews 12 today at a verse that says afterward. We want to get to the afterward. So let's dive right in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now, that's our part. I need to get along with God and behold Him with openness and honesty. And if I do that with that focus, I will be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's His part. You ever going to marry somebody and say, I'm going to change them? That's a lie. You can't change people. If you ever say you're going to change yourself, that's a lie. You don't have the ability to change yourself. The Bible says the Spirit is the agent of change and the power of change. And so verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He will free us up. Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as I come today, I confess to you daily and weekly sin that I confess to you out loud in my prayer closet specifically. And I name them, and I name them that they are sinful and they are evil and that you are right and I am wrong. And Father, in confession, I know that your blood cleanses me of my sin, but I know I need more. I need to be changed by your Spirit, and so I ask for that. That any kind of carnality, any carnal desire, any evilness, any of those things that are not of you need to be removed by your Spirit. As Paul said, my flesh needs to be crucified or mortified, killed off in these areas. And so, Father, I pray for the cleansing, for the change, and now today I ask for an anointing of your Spirit to share your truth in meekness and in humility. Father, I am your servant. Let me wash the feet of these people in this building and listening on this website, Father. And may your Holy Spirit just totally take over and just do this wonderful work for all of us. In your glorious name we pray, Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, lead us. Amen. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now, we're getting to the goal. We've been studying this 3 weeks. But, you know, people will tell you all the time, well, you know, you need to let the Lord do something with your life, or you need to be changed, or you need this to happen in your life, and all these things. But the bottom line is God wants to bless us. He wants to change us to bless us. He wants to change us to free us. He wants to change us to unchain us, to unburden us, to give us rest and peace and His wisdom in certain areas of our life. Now, look at what the Scripture says in verse 18. When you look in the glass, you are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you details of that process, how to look in the glass in a moment. But I want you to notice the Spirit of the Lord changes you. And in verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is at work. Now, that's the meaning of that. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, but where the Spirit of the Lord is at work in your life, there is liberty. All right? The Spirit just doesn't show up and sit down. He shows you up to free you up from some things. So, this is what I wrote. The goal, to change us and free us up. To change us and free us up. Lord Jesus, change me and free me up. Would you say that with me? Change me and free me up. All right? That's what it is. You know, we've missed this. People say, I know I need to change. Yeah. You not only need to change, you need to be freed up. So you say, Brother Leo, what do I need to be freed up from? You need to be freed up from bondages and burdens and strongholds. Bondages and burdens and strongholds. I want you to think about that for a moment. What are the bondages, burdens, and strongholds that I'm in my life? That are in my life. What are the bondages, burdens, and strongholds that exist in my life? We've all got them. Some of them are the same, some of them are different. But we've all got them. But I praise God we can all have less of them. And we can all see the power of God work. So, I need to be freed up from bondages, burdens, and strongholds. And burdens that we carry, I want you to write this down. Burdens that we carry that we place upon ourselves. I mean, you can get along with the Lord, and you can be bringing something to Him, you can be broke up, you can be crying, and you can be all bowed down. And if you'll stay there long enough and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, He's going to say, you shouldn't even be involved in this. You shouldn't be carrying this. This is not your worry. This is something you need to give over to me. So we've got these things going on in our life. And the process is, look at what it says, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now this is the process. Now, I'm going to read this to you verbatim, and I've been working on this a month. That's how I wrote it, and this is how it is today. I rewrote this several times this week because I wanted to get it succinct, and I wanted to have it the way I want to say it. It's the process of placing oneself prayerfully and meditatively in stillness before the Lord. The process of placing oneself prayerfully and meditatively in stillness before the Lord. Openly and honestly bearing oneself to God. Openly and honestly bearing oneself to God. As best you can. I'm going to show you about self-examination today, and I'm going to show you about divine illumination. Two separate things that work together. The process of placing oneself prayerfully, meditatively, in stillness before the Lord, openly and honestly bearing oneself to God. Okay? What are you talking about, Brother Lil? Prayer time? Yeah. But this is not intercession and it's not petition. I believe what's wrong with the church today and what's wrong with our spiritual growth is we spend 100% of the time in intercession and petition. There's no praise. There's no thanksgiving. And there's no openness before God about ourselves. You say, Brother Leo, I've really been praying and nothing's happening. What have you been praying? Oh, well, I've been asking God to do this and I've been asking God to do that. Well, let me show you the fallacy in that. Why this is needful. And I know you've been there, but go back. Proverbs 16. Let me show you why we need to just open ourselves in stillness before the Lord. Because we don't need to find, we don't need to ask God to do this, that, and the other. We need to find out from God why we are like we are. That's the huge thing. I've got a verse, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 13, and I don't even have it in the outline today. Maybe it'll be next week or we'll see how the Lord leads, about Paul saying, you know, when I was a child, I did childish things, but when I became a man, you know, I put away those things. And he talks about one day I'm going to see Him as He sees me. And that's what you need. Maybe we'll put it in the outline today. But look at what the Scripture says. Lord, this is what I need. Is this really what you need? Proverbs 16, verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the reality of your spirit and your motive. We think we know what's best for us. Man, there are people in this room and listening on this website. Not only do you think you know what's best for you, you think you know what's best for everybody else. And I'm going to show you, we don't even know what's best for us. We live in self-deception. All the ways of a man or a woman are always right in their own eyes. Go with me. to Proverbs 21:2. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. See, that's why we got to get along with the Lord and let Him reveal to us the truth about ourselves. But the Lord ponders and reveals the heart of man to Himself. Say, Brother Lil, how often do I need to do it? Well, if you've never done this in your life, I would start tonight and keep doing it until you start getting freed up from some things. What about petition and intercession? We'll throw that in every now and then, but I would focus on this so that your life can get where God wants it. Amen. Well, I don't really want to know the truth about myself. Well, therein lies the problem. It's a hypocritical way to live, and you're going to miss out on the blessings of God. You'll never be freed up. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. Now let me show you one that I hope will scare you into reality. Go to Proverbs chapter 14 and look at verse 12. You ever heard somebody say, you know, they're just destroying themselves. I don't understand why they're destroying themselves. Well, I'm about to tell you why. And it can happen to all of us. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says this, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is how deceived we can be in our fallen human nature. And that's why it is so needful for us to place ourselves before God in self-examination and divine illumination. Now, my friend, you must accept this truth. And I'm about to tell you the truth, and it's this. I really don't know why I am like I am in certain areas in my life. You've got to accept that truth. I really don't know why I'm like I am in certain areas of my life. I really don't know why I feel certain ways in certain areas of my life. And I need you, Lord Jesus, to reveal the truth to me about myself. And you can get along with God and say, Lord, this is why I think I am like this. This is why I think I feel this way. And maybe I am right, Lord, but I'm just opening up to you. And in submissiveness, I want you to reveal to me, you know, certain things that are in my life. We must accept this truth that we do not know ourselves as well as we think we do. Now go to Psalm 139, and I'll add the second part of that. That we do not know ourselves the way we think we do. Say, Brother Leo, I've never heard this kind of stuff in my life. Well, the bottom line is it's all through the Word of God. Every one of the epistles, this is all Paul talks about. It is allowing God to do His work in you. I really don't know myself as well as I think I do. So then you've got to recognize that need. And then you need to go to the one who knows you better than you know yourself. So who is he? He's Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you truly know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You know what my thoughts are that are far off in my mind. You are all around my path. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but you know it before I speak it. You are behind me. You are in front of me. You have all this knowledge about me. In verse 13, you covered me in my mother's womb. You saw my substance before I had arms and legs. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I want to tell you something. If I were to tell you right now, I know you better than you know yourself. And I would say that's the truth. Okay, this is totally hypothetical. But if I told you that, and I said, I can promise you, if you'll meet with me 2 hours tomorrow and 2 hours 3 times a week for the next 5 weeks, at the end of that time, you are going to be freed up from every bondage and every burden and every stronghold
that's keeping you from fulfilling the will of God for your life and keeping you away from all the blessings of life. And I promise you, I can do this. I believe folks would call me and they'd come to that little office next door and we would sit and meet. Well, that's not true. I can't do that. But I just read to you the man that can.
Amen.
But look at what it says in verse 23. When you get there and you bear yourself, you say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Show me the wicked ways that are in me. Remove those things and then lead me forth in the way everlasting." The Lord knows where He wants to lead you. And He knows the things He wants to remove from your life. So you have got to go through the process. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. If you want to be a wife, if you want to be a mother, if you want to be a friend, if you want to be a husband, if you want to be a dad, a grandparent, if you want to fulfill the roles God has given you, you owe it to your loved ones to be the person Jesus Christ wants you to be. And this is the only way you can get there. By allowing Him to shine that light. Notice what the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4. And this is the goal of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says this. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." When you get alone with the Lord, you need to get alone with the Word of God in the Spirit of God. I get in the Psalms, I get in the Epistles, I get anywhere you need to go. But notice what His goal is. He wants to pierce and divide asunder your soul and your spirit. And He wants to go so deep into you and discern for you the thoughts and intents and motives of your heart. Because when you get before the Lord, if you allow Him to work this process to free you up now, He wants to free you up and remove things that are affecting you and you don't even know they're in your life. Because when you get there, there is nothing that won't be hidden or not manifest in His sight. He'll expose you and open you up under the eyes with whom we have to deal. The one who can free us up. There are many people in Christianity and religion, and they can tell you everything that's wrong with everybody. In their church, in their pulpit, everywhere. But my friend, that is not my goal. That's not my responsibility. I am working on what's wrong with me before the Lord. I talk to folks all the time, don't go to church anymore because of what those people did. Well, I never went to church because of what those people did. I went to church because of what Christ did.
Amen.
But notice what it says here. He is going to expose to you the thoughts and intents of your heart. 3 points. Number one, when you get along with the Lord and you're going to want to just lay yourself open before the Lord. Number one, God desires to narrow your focus upon yourself. Just write that down. Narrow your focus upon yourself. How many times do you get in the prayer closet and ask God to do something for somebody else? What's wrong with that, brother? Well, there's nothing if you're asking God to heal them.
Yeah.
But if you're asking God to make them nicer or make them better or make them do what they're supposed to do, you don't know what they're supposed to do. You're not God. You know, one day you're going to stand before that judgment seat.
Yeah.
Now, if you're saved, you're going to give an account of what you did with your salvation. If you're lost, God's going to show you how many times you rejected Him. But we're all going to appear. And I believe a balance sheet can come up and show us 10,000 times we prayed for God to change somebody else and make them better, and the 3 times we asked God to change us. And that should not be. That should not be. It's a personal relationship between you and the Lord.
Don't tell me how bad your mama is. Don't tell me how bad your dad was. Don't tell me how bad this situation is. Blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is we go before the Lord. We put people in God's hands, and that's all that we can do. And we allow the Lord to work in us some freedom to be unburdened and unrestrained. God wants to narrow your focus upon yourself. Look at what it says. He will discern for you the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Number two, He wants to peel back emotional and mental layers. I heard a guy say one time, he said, all of us are just trying to overcome our childhood. He said, you know how folks are laying? He goes, all of us are just trying to overcome our childhood. By the time you're 6 or 7 years old, so many things have happened to you. So many things have impressed you. So many things have been impressed upon your mind, your emotions. You're either a confident person or you have no confidence. You're either a person with decent self-esteem or you have no self-esteem. You're either a person that is more outgoing or you're more introverted. All these things happen to us as we go through our childhood. There are things that happen where we resent siblings. There are things that happen where we resent parents. There are things that happen in our life that brings fears into our life that we're just going to live with the rest of our life. That is not God's will. But the bottom line is, if you don't get alone with it, there are times I lay out in the woods and I'm just saying, Lord, just peel back these layers. Show me what is in my life that I don't even realize it's there. And why it goes back to that. And there are things in your life that you imprint on other people today that happened 40 or 50 years ago. There are people all the time that won't allow themselves to fall in love with someone because they fell in love with someone 20 years ago and it turned out to be a disaster. That is not God's will for your life. But that's just one example. Oh, I'll never go back there because I'm talking about back in history. You know, I'll never make that mistake again. Well, my friend, maybe it wasn't even a mistake in the first place. But you got to get along with the Lord and find out the truth. So number one, He wants us to narrow our focus upon ourselves. Number two, He wants us to peel back all these emotional layers. But number three, notice what it says. He will pierce and divide asunder. The Lord must be allowed to penetrate our true feelings and motives. The Lord must be allowed to penetrate our true feelings and motives and our blind spots. And then this is the goal. Jesus wants to expose us to ourselves. I mean, I can stand here right now and tell you the first 10, 12 years of my life, of my ministry, it was very, very important to me to lead every association I was in baptisms. It was very important for me to lead them in additions. It was very important for me to walk up there and get that banner and look at the other 60 churches in the association and say, hey, look at me, we won. And there's not a blessing from God in any of that. But that's how I was living, and that's how I was pastoring. Could you preach? Certainly I could. Were you anointed? Yes, I was. God's merciful. God's patient. God's kind. But the motives were not of God. And I was in a religion that played on that. Because not everyone was seen as a soul. They were seen as a tither. So one day I got to walk away from it, but God still had to do a lot of work in my life. And still has to do a lot of work in my life. But notice what? He must penetrate our true feelings, our motives, our blind spots, expose us to ourselves. Then He removes all this stuff and He frees us up. And I'll get to that in a moment, but let me show you an example from the ministry of Christ. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And this is a motive that's not only in religion, it's in society. And you need to put Matthew 23 before the Lord pretty much in every area of your life. And see if this is you.
Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, he's talking about the Pharisees. And he says this, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men." Let's just stop there. For all their works they do to be seen of men. What do you do to be seen of men? What do you wear to be seen of men? What do you drive to be seen of men? What do you do to be seen of men? Why is it so important that men see you a certain way? And notice what it says. Notice what it says. "They make broad their phylacteries. They act very religious. Enlarge the borders of their prayer garment. They love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. And they love the greetings in the marketplace and to be called to men, Rabbi, Rabbi." You know, how important is it that just everybody knows who you are? And everybody knows what you're doing. And everybody sees the appearance of how successful you are. Facebook. Oh, look at this family. They were in Panama City for vacation. They stayed at the Hilton. Look at them on the beach. All the white shirts. They're perfect. Look at the tans. Pee in a bucket and put it on Facebook. Say, "Look, I hit the bucket." I mean, that's the mentality of the society we live in. Look at us. Look at me. Oh, well, you know so-and-so's out of town. I didn't know. Oh, well, you should have seen it on Facebook. Oh, well, really? Are they that important? That the whole county's got to know when they go out of town. That the whole county's got to know they got a new car. That the whole county's got to know. Let me tell you something. Look, read it again. Why is it so important to me to be seen of men? Verse 11, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be obeyed, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." There is only one name people need to know about, and that name is Jesus. And let me tell you something else. There's only one life people need to know about, and that's the life of Jesus. Put on Facebook all the miracles he did. But we live in this culture. Self-aggrandizing culture. That these things are so important. I'm going to tell you something. You will never get close to the man who had no place to lay his head. To the man who had only one cloak that they took from on the cross. You will never get close to the man who in all humility emptied himself from the royalty of heaven and the grandeur to come be born in a manger and die on a cross. Just for you. And we've got to get that freedom. It's not important anybody knows who I am. It's not important anybody knows anything about anything but the message of the Word of God. When you come into a building on a Sunday morning, you don't need to know who the guy is. You need to know who the man is, and he's Jesus. And he can free you up. And so we need to find out what our true motives are. And then we go to the man. Go to John 8. Go to John 8. People even ask me that. People from the Carolinas, they'll say, "Well, are you in pain on Facebook?" And I'll say, "Go to my website. I'm not on... I don't want anybody to know what's going on in our life, but the Lord, because I need His help." John chapter 8, verse 36 says this, "When you get before Him, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free absolutely and completely." And see, that's what you want. That's why you got to get there. And now I'm going to show you the process. And I'll be quick, but I'm going to show you step one. This is what you can do, and then I'm going to show you what God can do. Number one is self-examination. Number two is going to be divine illumination. I'll show you how divine illumination takes over after self-examination, after you put yourself there. Self-examination is in 1 John. So go with me to 1 John chapter 1. Please, Jesus, give me the time to do this. 1 John chapter 1. Now, I know I shared this last week, but we got to go through it today. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I want you to grab that. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Would you say that? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Say it again. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, in me there is darkness. Okay, would you say that? In me there is darkness. Say it again. In me there is darkness. So my goal is to get Him to shine that light. And you know what light does? It dispels what? Darkness. So that's all you got to do. You cannot get the darkness out. Now, look at what it says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, you know, if we're communing with God and in union, if we're saying that and we're walking in darkness, we're lying and not the truth. If there's darkness determined by the amount of darkness in my life, is determining the distance that's keeping me away from God. So I want to be walking with Him. I need that nearness. I need that closeness. So instantaneously, all I have to do is this. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I want you to understand, when you confess sin unto the Lord, pick out one sin. Let's say you told a lie just now, and you go and get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to confess unto You this. 20 minutes ago, I told a lie to a person. I didn't mean to. It just came out, and I told it. I told a lie to a person. And Lord, I want You to know something. That is wrong. Your Word says it's wrong. You are total truth. I have lied. I confess to You that sin. And I know that the blood of Jesus will cleanse me of this sin. And I want you to understand something. According to that Word, instantaneously, you'll be cleansed. You're cleansed. Well, what if I go out and do it again? If you go out and do it again, you've got to confess. Now, you're going to take this to another level where you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to change you from lying so much. But the first step is confession. Don't worry about step two when you ain't doing step one. Amen. You say, wait a minute, Brother Leo, how often should I confess? Only as much as you sin. Now, there are Christians that don't have confession in their daily life. That's a travesty. You know what that is? Look at what it is. If verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His Word is not in it. I never tell God I don't sin. Well, when you're not confessing, you're telling God you don't have a need to confess. So you're staying silent. So confession needs to be a part of your life. Really, I'll be honest with you. I'm trying to think right now. I don't think I've sinned this morning. All right, well, let's stop right there. Ask God to reveal to you if you've committed any sins this morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Because I have. And just go before the Holy Spirit and say, Spirit, reveal to me a couple of sins that I've committed this morning. Thank You, Lord Jesus, in Your name, amen. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to ask You if He did it. I know He did it. Because He's perfect and He's true. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So there are situations in my life where I'm not living by faith. There are situations in my life where I lose my temper. There are situations in my life where I have thoughts about someone I shouldn't have had. There are situations in my life where I'm not tender-hearted, patient, kind, compassionate, loving kindness. There are those situations in everybody's life. So the first thing we've got to do to get to where we need to be is confess that sin. Okay, don't stay silent. Now let me show you how divine illumination takes over. Okay, so you go into the closet and just start confessing as best you can what you know is sin in your life. That you've committed this day, or maybe there's a stronghold that's been in your life your whole life. And it's a pattern. So take it before God. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this goes right along with it. And I'm going to close out with this. So I'm not going to get to the other stuff today that hopefully we'll look at next week. Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I tell you something, before we go there, go to 2 Corinthians 13. And this is called self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove it to your own self. Examine yourself. Know ye not that your own selves, whether or not Jesus Christ is in you by His Spirit. So that's where self-examination starts. It started at salvation if you got saved. If you haven't been saved yet, you need to do that. You need to say, have I ever had an experience in my life, and that's Galatians 4 and Romans 8, where the Holy Spirit actually came into my heart, and I know I received the Spirit. And I'll probably teach that next week. So that's self-examination. But examine yourselves whether you're living by faith in this area of life or that area of life or this area of life. Examine yourself about what you think your true motives are. So we can do that part. But notice what can take over. Sometimes in life, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the devil tries to blind the minds of them which believe not, but he can also blind the minds of those that believe. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has the ability to shine the light of His righteousness in our heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, what? The glory of the Lord, are changed into His image from ours, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Notice what it says in 4 verse 6. He shines the light in our heart to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, the power that shines that light and changes us and then frees us up is of God, and it's not of us. So this is what I close with. This is what you got to understand. As you begin confessing with an honest, open heart before the Lord, the divine, supernatural, wonderful work of the Holy Spirit will attempt to take over and intervene, and then confession's going to start flowing out of you as a stream. Now, how will I know it's of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you how you'll know. You will start seeing something in your life as sin that you never saw as sin before. That's Holy Spirit revelation. You will be shown why you feel a certain way, or why you think a certain way in a way you've never seen before. We don't need to know what we know about ourselves. We need to know the truth about what God knows about ourselves. And that's the only way you get it. My friend, what I'm teaching you is the theme of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, the letters to the Corinthians, Titus, Timothy. The whole New Testament is about the priesthood of the believer and us placing ourselves before God, allowing God to do His work in us after His Holy Spirit's come into us, and fulfilling the life God has for me. And you got to stand up and you got to say, I want the life God has for me. I'm tired of being led around by the devil. Even though I've just been in ignorance. Well, now we're learning.
See, I've got to stretch myself. I'm reading two authors right now from the early 1900s that were empowered by God and changed by God in miraculous, amazing ways, and I want that. And we all need that. So we need not just to be changed, but to be freed up. You know, I was going over this morning, and I'm in my living room, and I do the whole message. Nobody hears me but Splash and Sweetness and Callie. And Poss. I could name her Poss because when she's a little kitten, she'd run underneath this little chair and she'd peek out and I'd say, she looks just like a possum. So I named her Poss. Splash got her name because she's a calico and she's furry and she's got a little splash of white that Jesus put right there on her nose. So I named her Splash. Sweetness is the meanest cat we've ever had. So we named her Sweetness. See if that'll help her. Callie is a calico. That's original. But as I was preaching this thing to them this morning, I said, I'm going to have the whole bunch stand up and say, I just want you to get freed up. And the first thing I want you to do, I just want you to stand there and just try to free yourself up. And I'm not going to make you do that, but what I want you to understand is, I mean, some of us, we carry so many spiritual burdens, we're tensed up. We're tensed up just carrying all this stuff. And you know what the Lord's saying? He's saying, come unto me and open yourself. And I'll unburden you and give you rest. I'll free you up. I want to be freed up. I've been saying that all week. I mean, just out of the blue, I'll say it out loud. Lord, I want to be freed up. Would you say that with me? Lord, I want to be freed up. Would you say it again? Lord, I want to be freed up. He will do this. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to come play softly. And for these next few moments, I just want to ask you to allow the Lord to reveal to you an area in your life that you just need to be freed up from. I want you to attempt to confess some sin. Maybe something happened last week. You've not brought that before the Lord yet. My friend, that clogs up the communication with you and Jesus, the union and the fellowship and the closeness and the nearness. And you know, we sing all those beautiful hymns. I mean, I've got to have a closer walk with Jesus. I've got to be near to Him to get through this life, and you do too. So in the quietness of this moment, let's spend some time with some self-examination and allow some divine illumination as He shines that light and just breathe that prayer to the Lord. Lord Jesus, please just free me. When He shows you something, say, Lord, please free me up. Lead me. Give me the key. Open the door that'll just free me up. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to pray with me, you come. Or if you want to come up here and pray, you come. But let's let the glory of the image of the Lord and His brightness just free you up. Holy Spirit, lead us. Amen.